Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, hope you're doing well. What's going on?
Tired AF.
It is Wednesday.
Kids kept me up. Screaming, fighting about Chargers. Katie's not here.
Not your Chargers, I hope.
It's a bad scene, man. What's that? I don't know. I mean, maybe I took their Chargers. They steal my Chargers all the time. I hope I did steal their Chargers. Now they get to go to school and get ready on their own. So good luck.
Could be an interesting day on that front.
I don't even want to hear about it. Good luck.
Michelle, how are you? What's going on?
Doing good this morning, guys. Just got really hyped listening to the whole Scottie Pippen drama, so I think I'm going to go buy his book after the show tonight.
Are you? That's what he's going for.
Okay. Now you got to catch me up. What happened?
It's nothing new. It's just kind of the same stuff with old Scottie.
Yeah, his book came out and basically just said The Last Dance was like created so Jordan could let everybody know that he is the best player ever to the younger generation.
Which I think we kind of already knew. But
huh. Yeah. Okay.
Google it, Joe.
All right, I will. Thank you. I will Google.
Hit that Google machine.
So that, yeah, I don't think that's I don't think The Last Dance created that narrative, did it?
No.
Might have cemented it for some people.
Yeah. Maybe the LeBron fans. Is Jordan trying to convert to LeBron fans? Is that what we thought?
Yeah, maybe. I do think that Pippen gets a very raw deal from some people on how important he was to that whole thing. I mean, Jordan doesn't have a ring without Pippen. So, but, you know, whatever.
Joe Rexroad, big Michael Jordan fan.
Oh, big time.
Hey. I think Jordan's incredible. He has a case as the best player ever. But it's just like the support players, I think, a lot of times don't get their due.
Sure.
And Pippen was not just some dude. Pippen was not just some guy.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, they were like a 500 team that would barely get in the playoffs, and then they got Pippen, and then they were a contender. So
get out of here, Michael.
You know, but it's just like, well, no, but it's like if it's like Brady last year, which people, claim I hate, but if you watch them play, they won the Super Bowl last year because their defense couldn't be blocked more than anything. But he was great too. See?
It takes more than one person is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. That's
no I in team. No I in team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
As Michael Jordan says, there is an ME in team. So there you go. What a cool night last night. The Atlanta Braves. They get it done. They close things out in game 6 to win the World Series. And wasn't close last night. Atlanta leaves no doubt. They win 7-0. Soler hit a home run in that game, which I'm pretty sure may have hit a satellite in space before it came down. He totally destroyed that ball. I think they said it was like 445 feet. I don't think so. I think your measuring tools may be off on that one. It was like 745 feet. He destroyed that baseball last night.
And then Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
Gets one, and Joe Buck,
just immediately goes to, that could be the last time you ever see Freddie Freeman, Atlanta fans, so enjoy. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you.
Don't get too hung up on it. Congrats to the Braves fans.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing team that was, just what? Were they two games over 500?
Yeah.
Right, in August, I mean.
If you would have told me that Ronald Acuna goes down and then that team ends up winning the World Series, I would have said that you're crazy. I mean, most people, when Acuna went down, said, well, just not the Braves' year. They were not a very good team. I mean, they were average is probably the best way to describe them. Acuna goes down, and all of a sudden, like, they learned how to pitch going late into the season and into the playoffs. Their pitching was really good. You know, Max Fried last night, he'd struggled in the playoffs so far. And, you know, six innings of shutout work last night against the Astros. Pretty good stuff. The bullpen comes in and closes it down. And Atlanta wins for the first time since 95.
Pretty wild. And, of course, Dansby Swanson, the 6-3 to clinch it. So a couple of Vanderbilt guys with Swanson and Wright, too, which is cool. But, yeah, it's they've had a lot of teams that I would say were on paper, you know, like measurably better than this one that didn't win it. So it's kind of a long-suffering. It's interesting. I don't know. It's hard to say long-suffering when you have such a consistent winner like this. You know, I mean, really 30 years of, for the most part, being a really solid organization and knock on the door a lot. But if you never win it in all that time, then that's what it is. So,
yeah, I mean, going back to the 90s and early 2000s, you had 14 consecutive division titles and had one World Series to show for it.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately for you during that time, the Yankees were playing during that time and, look, they had some teams that were just flat-out disappointing in the postseason during that stretch as well. But, you know, I think it made that last night that much sweeter because, number one, it's been since 95 since they've won. But, number two, like when Acuna went down, everybody wrote that team off. And it's not like if you would have told me before the season, hey, the Braves are going to win the World Series, I would have said, oh, yeah, okay, I could see that. But once Acuna goes down, which I still contend, I know Freddie Freeman's great, and obviously, Soler had an awesome postseason, and they've got a lot of really good players. I still think Acuna's their best player. And yet he goes down, and they still win. That's a pretty incredible story. It's got Titans fans excited, too. Derrick Henry goes down.
Oh, I was going to say, wait, what?
Yeah.
Right.
Just shows that you can lose your best player and do it.
It is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great for the for Atlanta in general. Atlanta sports, I mean, how many heartbreaks have they had? They lose game five, and you're like, uh-oh, back to Houston.
Yep.
Back to Houston where 28-3 happened. But good for them. Good for Atlanta. Good for Chase McCabe and Jared Stillman and all you Braves fans out there.
Very excited for the Braves fans today. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is what I was talking about. Got a texter says, sounds like what the Titans story is going to be. Henry goes down, everybody doubling the Super Bowl. We can mimic the Braves. Or everybody doubting the Super Bowl, I believe is what that's supposed to say, but it says doubling. So I'm going to go with doubting.
Yeah, probably doubting.
Yeah.
Or double downing.
Maybe so.
He doubling down on them, still winning it.
Rob texting in, hey, fellas, we got our T-shirts and hats. Go Braves, champs. The Titans are up next. Let's go with 5 exclamation points. Rob's excited today.
There are
congratulations, Rob.
There are quite a few, I think, Titans Braves.
Oh yeah,
people.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty common combo, right, around here.
I mean, we were trying to figure it out. Braves by far biggest baseball fan base around here. I mean, I guess somewhere with the Cardinals, the Reds, the Cubs fighting for number two would be my guess. Probably Cardinals.
Seems that way. Yeah.
I don't know. Those are close.
Cubs are very
recent.
They've got a lot of fans all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You know. But, yeah, I think that probably makes sense. Cardinals. But, yeah, the Braves fans, I mean, people I follow on Twitter, it's amazing how many are. And then randomly, too, like our friend Mike Wilson, who's via New Zealand and Michigan, is just a huge Braves, you know. He, like, tweeted out, like, his Waffle House celebration meal last night after they won it. So. But you know, it's like kind of like the Cubs. You draw in some people. You did over the years just from being on TBS.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just on everywhere.
Well, I remember growing up watching baseball. I mean, it was Braves every day. My grandfather watched the Braves. Well, I was at his house last night. We watched the World Series together. It was awesome. And he was excited. And then he said, "You know what? I'm going to sleep. See ya." All right. See you later. So, yeah, it's good stuff. The Braves win and. Now we'll see, as Joe Buck pointed out last night, can you keep Freeman? Can you get Acuna healthy and maybe try to go for two in a row? They've still got a lot of young guys out there.
Just let them enjoy this one.
Could be the makings of a dynasty, Rex Road.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're pretty good. And, you know, a lot of people, the whole Snit thing has been interesting, too. That's he's a very polarizing, you know, manager, but I think now you gotta like him, right?
Oh yeah, Well, that could be the end of the Astros as we know them too, because Carlos Correa going to be a free agent coming up.
Detroit Tigers knocking on the door.
Yeah, buddy. That's right. Get that thing going. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, could be.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be good for you.
Be interesting, yeah. Try to see if a Detroit team can be anything other than crap.
Congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. We'll take your thoughts on our text line all show long, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, don't look now, but the Nashville Predators have won four consecutive games. And I tweeted this last night. Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, looking pretty darn good so far. Matt Duchene with the game winner last night. Quite frankly, if you watched much of the game last night, in a game they really had no business winning. UC Saros was unbelievable in the first period where they got outshot like 20-9 and Calgary had like 12 grade A scoring chances. Saros was awesome. They get it done 3-2 in overtime last night. So four wins in a row for the Predators. And Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, continuing to make plays.
Yeah.
What does it all mean?
Well, I mean, it's, again, they're what, 2-3 games to start, it was not much, right?
Yeah.
So, really, it's been quite a good pace here in the last, like, seven games. I don't know. I don't know what it means, but they needed this badly after the start, and it just seems like there's just some confidence building, and you got the guy in net who can steal you a game here or there. You get Duchene with some timely goals. You got Forsberg scoring again now. By the way, I picked a click win,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, picked you're welcome click. For that. Just yeah. gift wrapped it into you
with the last pick. And get Forsberg.
Which, by the way, got hurt last night after, and we'll see what happens on that. There was a collision with him, and I couldn't tell from the TV broadcast if it was him and Roman Josi or him and Matt Duchene, but he collided with his own teammate, stayed out there, and then got back to the bench and never saw him again in that game.
Yeah, that's something to watch.
Yep, that is something.
And they come right back out tonight.
Yeah, they come right back out tonight against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. Andrew on the text line says, they're vibing, Robbie. We going to bring that back? I'm cool with it.
I mean, got the shirts ready.
That's true.
You know? Why not?
That's right. Four wins in a row for the Predators. Good time to be a Nashville Predators fan right now. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rexroad, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The NFL trading deadline has come and gone, and not much from the Tennessee Titans yesterday. What did we make of the moves they did make, and what do we make of John Robinson not being active at the trade deadline? We'll get to that coming up next. This week marks the halfway point to the NFL season, and there's a big Sunday afternoon matchup between Green Bay and Kansas City, and FanDuel Sportsbook about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Now, you know which way I'm going here. Give me my beloved Green Bay Packers to win this game. Could be some good news on the injury/COVID front. Davante Adams could be back. Marquez Valdez-Scantling could be back. And the all-pro left tackle David Bakhtiari could be back this week as well for the Packers. So give me the Packers on the money line, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the number one rated sportsbook in America, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. So just sign up with promo code ROB this week before Green Bay takes on Kansas City, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restricted supply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Logan texting in. The Preds shouldn't have won that game last night. Crying, laughing emoji fan face here on the text line. I counted 6 2-on-1s in the first period alone. Tonight is probably going to be really bad if we take penalties. We're a lot of odd man rushes on the first period. I believe Dan Hynote, Preds assistant coach, was telling Lindsey Rowley on the TV broadcast. Probably could have been 8-0 after the first period. But it was not, because UC Soros played very well. So, Logan, I would agree. Probably don't want to put Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on the power play too often tonight. Would be my strategy for the Predators.
Yeah.
Try to keep it game 5-on-5.
Yeah, ideally.
That would be the ideal way to go. Joe, the Titans yesterday, we were interested to see what moves would be made, if any, at the trading deadline by the Titans. And there were moves that were made, just no trades that were made for the Titans yesterday. We brought up Deontay Foreman yesterday here on the show, and it turns out the Titans did go that direction and bring him into the fold. He is now on the practice squad. Obviously, Adrian Peterson's move made official yesterday as well, who is still technically on the practice squad. He'll be elevated at some point here in the next little bit. Your reaction to the Titans, though, not making any trades at the NFL trading deadline, not overly surprising given the way the NFL trade deadline works, but are you surprised that their answer to running back with Derrick Henry appears to just be Adrian Peterson, Jeremy McNichols, and now Deontay Foreman as well?
I'm not all that surprised. I mean, again, there were some good names out there that were, I think, worth kicking the tires on and looking into. I never thought they should have given up too much for anyone out there. But I think it makes sense the way they went. You know, obviously, you want to make sure those guys are in shape. I think with Foreman in particular, just Foreman's like the big guy, you know, and sometimes big guys, I can speak from experience, big guys, you know, it's hard to always stay in top shape at all times of your life. So I assume that was something that they, you know, wanted to make sure on with Foreman, who just hasn't. I mean, it is interesting that the two moves they made are for two guys who are out of the league.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I think Peterson's going to be really interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see how effective he is. I think with Foreman, actually, you have a little bit. We saw him last year. How will he do with a steadier, you know, a heavier workload? I don't know. But, I mean, I think it makes sense stylistically to have those two guys. And then you have McNichols. And I'm not ruling out that McNichols could maybe get, you know, a series or a few more carries to go with the third down responsibilities. That'll be all interesting. I mean, Tony Deuce talked yesterday, Titans running backs coach, about both those guys. And, you know, it was basically, it was just like, I can't wait to see, you know, on the practice field how they look. And it's just a lot to find out. I mean, it's going to be weird, frankly, on Sunday night. The Peterson-Foreman combo coming at the Rams with Von Miller coming on the other side. But that's what it's going
to
be.
What a first game to try to evaluate these running backs to against when you're taking on the Rams in that front.
Like, right.
It's going to be difficult to run the ball on that front, even if you have Derrick Henry. And now you have Adrian Peterson and Jeremy McNichols and Deontay Foreman out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it's just like Pippen. Jordan needed Pippen.
That's right.
Henry needed an offensive line. If the offensive line performs well, then they could, you know, potentially have some balance. But, yeah, they're probably going to have to throw the ball to have success and probably throw it quickly. And I think Ryan Tannehill will be making those throws. There's something to look for today. Is how's he feeling on the practice field?
Yeah, you know, as has become a Wednesday tradition here for the Titans, the injury report, pretty interesting to look at. Now, as we've learned, the Wednesday injury report doesn't really mean a whole lot at the end of the day for the Titans, but I am interested to see, like, is Ryan Tannehill out there throwing the ball today? Because with the video, by the way, I don't think we've given you enough credit for the groundbreaking video that you took over the weekend. Just he looked a little stiff in that video with Tannehill.
Yeah,
great videography by you.
Thank you. I thought so, too. Don't break out the skills too often, but I was like, I think people need to see this. This is I mean, walking like he's like balancing an egg on his head, you know? Like, it was not – didn't look good.
No.
So, yeah, of course, something like that could be much better by today. Who knows? He's been very durable, too, just like Henry has been very durable, but no one's invincible.
No one is invincible. I saw some Titans fans a little upset, not many, but some Titans fans upset yesterday that this was all that they were doing at running back. I guess my question would be, like, what else was out there that if you're a Titans fan, you'd be like, oh, I feel really good about the Titans trying to replace Derrick Henry right now. I mean, there's just not a ton out there that personally I would have felt great about that ended up being a realistic option.
I've been a Melvin Gordon fan since he was in college.
Sure.
And the Broncos are selling left and right. Although, you know, I mean, basically the entire day yesterday was boring, and it was like the NFL reminding us that they really don't do much on the trading deadline.
Yep.
That guy, he was interesting to me. If you could have figured something out with a team that was just looking to, get draft picks and basically punt on the year. And then, yeah, some of those other names are, I mean, pretty some interesting names out there for sure. But at this point, I mean, you gave up that second-round pick for Julio Jones. And I think that most people would agree, and probably internally they'd agree, like, if they can't get Henry back this year, I mean, any of those names, is that going to be enough for you to do what you want to do and go where you want to go? I mean, it's possible. But it's also possible that Peterson Foreman could give you a really good 8 weeks here of football, 9 weeks of football, and you're going to be in the playoffs, you know? So it comes down to if you think you could get Henry back too, I mean,
yeah.
You know, then was it worth, like, if you're going to win the division anyway, but probably not get the one seed, and you're going to be in the playoffs, and you might get Henry back, then why are you giving up too much draft stuff for the stopgap?
Well, and let me just say this, because we had a couple of these texts yesterday on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, of the, well, who cares about the first-round pick? John Robinson will just screw it up anyway.
Yeah.
You really got to get out of that mindset.
Yeah,
I understand that the first-round draft picks have not gone well the last couple of years, but if your mindset is just going to turn into, hey, who cares about the first-round picks, which, I mean, in fairness, is kind of the way, I guess, the L.A. Rams are treating things right now, but that's not generally a long-term way to go about doing things in the NFL.
Right. And so if you think your GM can't make first-round picks or picks at all in general, then I guess your host – got to fire him and prepare for the 3-14 seasons to come. But, you know, it's been a bad run. You get draft capital is very crucial. And for this team, well, it's still crucial that some of these picks who haven't panned out do, like Christian Fulton was starting to do this year, and that you really start hitting on those drafts and that you have picks so that you can hit on those drafts.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, I'm sure the Titans called Denver, but the price was too high. I think AP can thrive here. Just don't give him 30 carries a game. By the way, speaking of AP, have you seen all this stuff on Twitter?
Oh, like I got ratioed.
AP, AD, yeah. Nonsense.
Joe got trolled.
I got ratioed.
I missed that one.
Yeah. Braden and my editor Mitch Light, they're all Travis Haney, they're all over me when I tweeted something about AP. I said something like AP to Nashville, and they're like, you mean AD? I'm like, okay, well, his Twitter bio has both. His Twitter bio says AP/AD. So
yeah,
I'll go with him. Number 8, by the way. Yeah. So you can break out your number 8 jerseys again, Titans fans.
Just get that little piece of scotch tape, masking tape over the Mariota. It's right in Peterson.
Let's see. There's a T in there. There's an R.
Get real creative with
it. Yeah, you probably just have to put a new thing over there. Sorry.
Apparently, Adrian Peterson really wants to go to a Predators game. Put that on Twitter yesterday, too. So, Adrian Peterson already getting in the groove here in Nashville.
Taylor Lewan will gladly go with him and drink a beer through a catfish.
It's going to be weird watching Adrian Peterson run around at number 8. Do we think it's out of just sheer respect to Jeremy McNichols, or do we think that Jeremy McNichols said, no, man, that's my number. You can go pound sand. I'm keeping number 28. You'll have to come up with a new one.
I don't know. I assume there's a decent chance we get Peterson today so we can ask him.
Yeah.
He's a, you know, don't mess with Jeremy McNichols, man.
No, at one point we thought that Julio might wear number 8 this year. That didn't happen. Wearing number 2. And now Adrian Peterson taking it over.
That's right, because Julio was 8 at Alabama.
He was.
Yeah. Well,
what a time.
Yes. What
there are some Titans fans that feel like number 8 is cursed. I guess with Marcus and I guess that would be it.
I was going to say, who was 8 before Marcus?
I don't know.
Anyone of note?
Yeah. I don't think so.
I mean, he did get you to the playoffs. He did get you a playoff win. He was pretty good. It wasn't like a complete disaster.
I'm just telling you what the people said. This is not me. I'm not taking shots at Marcus
so,
this week.
So if the number is on someone who isn't a Hall of Famer, it's Curry.
I guess so.
Okay.
We'll see how Adrian Peterson reacts wearing number 8 in the backfield. Speaking of reactions, what is overreacting? What is not overreacting when it comes to the Titans and what their expectations should be without Derrick Henry? Joe Rexroad and I will get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Evanescence and Hailstorm at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, December the 3rd? Well, if you do, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Evanescence and Hailstorm live. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, November the 8th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Going to be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee to begin the 7 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that coming up here in about 30 minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Got a texture that says number swapping can only happen before the season, not during the season, per NFL rules. So Jeremy McNichols, not even given the chance to give up his number.
See, I didn't know that. Interesting. Is that true? Can we verify that? Who is this? I mean, someone we trust?
It kind of makes sense.
It makes sense, but I want to, you know, I want to make sure that's a fact. Who is that?
There's no name.
Okay. Thank you for the information. We will verify if you're accurate, and if
it does
so,
make sense.
I'd like to praise you by name, so let us know your name.
That's
it
correct.
Does make sense.
That is correct. All right, so Joe, obviously there's been a lot of reaction to Derrick Henry's injury and what this means for the Titans as they move forward this year without knowing how long Derrick Henry is going to be out and what exactly this means for their postseason hopes. I think this week, Joe, I've seen everything from, hey, the Titans are still going to be going like 13-4 to, oh my goodness, the Titans are going to finish 6-11, and they're not going to win another game. My question for you is, where do you land in that spectrum? What is overreacting? What do you think is maybe not reacting enough when it comes to Derrick Henry? Because to me, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't think the Titans are really a significant threat for the one seed anymore if Derrick Henry is not going to be a part of this offense before the regular season comes to a close. And I also, quite frankly, don't think they're in that much danger of losing the division based on what we've seen out of Indianapolis and the schedule that the Titans still have left on the table. So I kind of fall somewhere in the, you know, 10-7, 11-6 kind of range now with Derrick Henry out the door. Where do you fall in terms of expectations for the Titans as they move forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, anybody who looks at this and says they're going to lose the division, like, go through the games and tell me they're going to lose the division. I mean, anything's possible, but I don't think they're going to completely fall apart here. And they would have to completely fall apart to not win the AFC South. They have put themselves in a great shape, given themselves leeway, and, you know, they have after Sunday, of course, which is, I mean, I think by far the toughest game remaining on the schedule. They have a lot of winnable games without Derrick Henry. So, I think you're way overreacting if you're worried about the division. The Colts, again, you go 3-6, okay, and just beat the Texans twice and the Jags and forget everything else, and I think they'll go better than that. That would put them at 9-8. The Colts have to go 7-2 to win the division. They're not going 7-2.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that, like, the Titans being better than 3-6, I'm pretty sure that'll happen, but 3-6 I feel strongly about. I feel even stronger about the Colts aren't going 7-2. So, like, the Titans are – if the Titans don't win the division, it would be a massive shocker at this point. And I agree on the one. I think that there's some games that are now tougher. Of course, it's a huge loss. You're talking about someone who's an MVP candidate who, you have a different outlook in games to me, like games at New England, games at Pittsburgh, those two games in particular, teams that look like they're going to be in the battle for a playoff spot. Now they've both kind of gotten it going a little bit. You know, sometimes it's good to play teams at a certain point. And the Saints timing might work out well for the Titans because Jameis Winston just went down, for example.
Yep.
So that timing with those teams may not be as good as like earlier in the year. They're getting better. So I think the one, was already going to be tough just because of the Bills' schedule.
Yep.
And by the way, speaking of Derrick Henry, I have a piece on Derrick Henry that just published at theathletic.com if you'd like to read it.
Yes.
But it's a weird – so I talked to the Rams foot surgeon yesterday of all weirdness.
That is weird.
But he also – he's like Cedars-Sinai L.A. foot doctor who is the team doctor, but also he just – he's like a – he serves as an expert on things. And I was like, it's kind of weird. So – You operate this surgery on Rams players, and now let's talk about a Titans player. But, I mean, to summarize the whole thing with Derrick Henry, first of all, like anyone reporting right now, and this is also based on sourcing I did yesterday, anybody reporting that, like, the Titans either are counting on him back or are counting him out is just – you're full of it. Like, it's the minds are open. I mean, the Titans have an open mind about this, as they should. You don't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
So they're hopeful, but there's no way that you could report right now either scenario as anything other than guesswork and speculation, hope or pessimism, you know? I mean, the bone's going to heal in 6 to 8 weeks, and then if he has no pain, then it's still like, okay, you could play, but as the Dr. Jung, who I talked to yesterday, he's like, yeah, of course. Of course you'd rather have 30 weeks. You'd feel better. It would be totally healed. But could he come back? Yes. So, I mean, it's just going to be how the bone heals. Does the fact that Derrick Henry, you know, is in such great shape and the soft tissue stuff for him never bothers him, does that have anything to do with his bone healing? I mean, not necessarily.
Yeah.
So we can all just guess. But in the meantime, I mean, I think – and to me, that's the Super Bowl. If you really want to make a run, it's hard for me to see it without him.
Yeah. And apparently that's turned into, like, some controversial take. Like, I don't understand if you're of the mindset that you think that Derrick Henry is the league MVP, and now that you've lost him, you think that the Titans could just roll right on without him. Those two things don't compute to me. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
No. I mean, the Titans can still be a good team. They can still win on a particular day.
Sure.
Probably against anybody. I mean, you have a particular day, and especially with, like, Julio Jones out there, your Tannehill tears it up, your defense gets some turnovers, sure. But to stack those wins against those top teams in January without them, I don't see it.
It's interesting to look at the schedule because I agree with you. I mean, obviously the Rams game, the toughest game they've got left. I would have said the second toughest game prior to last week – would be the Saints. So the next two games that they play, based on the quality of competition, and now Jameis Winston is out, and I don't know, Trevor Siemian going to be the quarterback? They're going to put little Taysom Hill back there?
So Taysom Hill's hurt, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so I guess.
I mean, Trevor Siemian, he tore Brady apart the other day, man.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. Like, former Titans quarterback.
That's right. Well, yeah.
Last year?
Couldn't beat out Logan Woodside. Yeah.
How good's Logan Woodside?
We may find out Sunday.
Well, we might.
Logan Woodside, Adrian Peterson running some option, man.
But you got the Saints, the Texans, the Patriots, and then at home against the Jags, on the road against the Steelers, which, by the way, the Steelers look better now. Their offense is still not great, but their defense is looking like a Pittsburgh Steeler defense at the moment. And then the Niners, the Dolphins, and the Texans, and for all the Titans fans worried about that January 2nd game against the Dolphins, maybe playing against Deshaun Watson, that's not going to happen. So, not a very good Miami team that's at the end of that schedule, too. I mean, based on what I've seen from Miami, I mean, I wouldn't put them in, you know, Texans category, probably not Jags category either, but they're not very good. So, the Titans still absolutely should win that game without Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and I have no idea what the heck happened to them, really. They've had some injuries, you know, but they've been the most disappointing team in the NFL, right? Oh, so at that point,
well, maybe Kansas City.
Yeah, but Kansas City 4-4, still
they're still alive.
Can be fine.
Yeah,
they can figure it out. Miami is done, and I think more people than not had them in the playoffs, right?
Everybody that I saw had them at least right there, but they just not been good.
So they'll be playing out the string.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I mean, you go through the schedule, I could easily – shoot, I mean, hey, they could in theory, they could lose one more game. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to lose three or four more games. They could, though. And there's nothing that's like absolutely impossible after Sunday. And I even hesitate to call Sunday impossible because it's one game and it's they are absolutely the classic team that loses a great player and then they come up with some incredible performance and some wacky plays and, you know, and just find a way. I mean, I will not have a shocked face in the press box Sunday night if they win that game, but I don't think they will.
Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. How much do you value the 2 versus the 4 seed? Since we're likely to win the division, do you push it to get the highest seed possible? Or if you have some banged up players down the stretch like Julio, do you hold them out and just bank on holding on to the 4?
Oh, heck. Oh, I don't. Who cares? Because it's just a match. You don't even know what the matchup's going to be. You know you have a home game.
Right.
So I don't think that they would care, could possibly care less about that. If you're going for the bye, great. I mean,
that's different.
That week could be huge. I mean, that week could, I mean, frankly, again, if you go on the 10-week timeline, Derrick Henry, you know, 10 weeks from his surgery would be the Tuesday going into the wild card game. So, you know.
Wouldn't it be nice to give him an extra week?
Then what if you had an extra week
before
you have to play again? But, yeah, 2 through 4, I mean, it's just matchups. So you're going to host somebody in a playoff game. Nah, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, who would be the, like, so obviously that's 2, 3, 4, and that's 5, 6, 7 would be the you know, 7 going to 2.
Yep.
I mean, who are we talking about? Could be Cleveland, could be Cincy, could be Pittsburgh, Colts. could be the Colts. I mean,
maybe.
Yeah. You get a home game, playoff game, you're playing the first week. Got to win at home. Got to win that game. I mean, if you think you got these lofty hopes of trying to get to back to LA, you know, got to beat whoever's in front of you, and certainly that first game. So, no, unless the one's on the table, I think we might be seeing a couple weeks with, like, just
Logan
get through the game. Yeah, Logan Woodside and, maybe Mekhi Sargent, who, of course, is out there now, but no one's picked him up. Could still end up back on this practice squad.
Are you surprised by that? I guess my question is, like, are you surprised that they apparently are now going to go with Deontay Foreman over a guy like Mekhi Sargent, who played pretty well for them in the preseason?
I'm not shocked by it. I mean, I do like Sargent. I think he's got a chance to hang around this league. Clearly, they said we need a hammer, right? I mean, clearly, and I did like how Foreman looked. A couple times last year, he had a couple games where it's like, okay, wow, he moves pretty well and he's very powerful back. So clearly they wanted some sort of replica of what Derrick Henry brings, at least to have as part of the backfield. So from that perspective, Foreman still has done more than Sargent at this point. That's going to be really interesting to see how that gets split up too.
Yeah.
Foreman and Peterson, and they alternating series until someone gets hot, or, I mean, it's going to be, wow, how weird, you know, this team that we're just so used to. It's 22 all day long, every day, and now it's RBBC.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. Get to the Julio Jones portion of this as well. How much pressure now rests on Julio Jones with the future of this Titans team? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Sunday as Nashville SC takes on the New York Red Bulls at Nissan Stadium. Pregame starts at 2:15, and the match begins at 2:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with 2 locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand-new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jeff from Kingston Springs texting in. Wait, did I just hear Joe use bye week? Surely my ears are failing me.
I did?
I think you did.
I used buy. No. We're talking about the buy.
I'm not saying how you used it. I'm just saying that you used it.
I use it correctly. Oh, I'm all for the term buy when it's the bye week of the first week of the playoffs, because that's what it freaking is.
Do we need to go to Merriam-Webster once again?
I don't care what kind of how they want to contribute.
I don't care what kind of facts you have.
I don't care how they want to contribute to the erosion of society. I mean, that's their problem. No, I did use buy correctly. When you get the first week of a playoff off, that's a buy. sorry, that was a little loud.
That was
a little
loud.
Aggressive.
It was aggressive
sorry.
This morning.
Dude,
come on,
goodness.
Joe. It's not even 7 a.m.
I'm very unbalanced right now. Like, I need something beyond caffeine.
We'll work on that for you. Dustin from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, texting in. I have a lingering worry. We're going to get Tannehill injured now. Defenses will be going after him every down without Henry to worry about. He's already been getting hit a lot. Truly worried about this.
It's a violent game.
Yep.
I mean,
he's already kind of hurt. We'll see if he can play this week, but that's a rough hit he took on Sunday.
It was. I mean, that was, end of regulation. You really don't have much chance of doing anything. Got him hit pretty hard. I mean, the hardest, I don't know that he'll get hit or, taken to the ground more this year than he did in New York, or I'm sorry, in New Jersey. Like that, and why they had Derrick Henry that day. So yep. Bad offensive line play / no receivers to make anyone worry. I mean, that's the thing. If you do have Julio and you have AJ playing like this, that helps what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now I hear what you're saying. Like you don't have the running, you don't have the running game, especially to freeze people at the play action, which is such a big part of this offense. But if you have outside threats, that should help a lot. And that's where Julio becomes very important for this team.
It's where Julio becomes very important for the team. And, I said it yesterday. He's moved in my mind, from a luxury to a necessity with this offense without Derrick Henry. I guess the question is, what reasons for optimism do we have that anything with Julio Jones is really going to change? I mean, right now, it's just kind of waiting on the hamstring injury and hopefully getting that to a place where it's healthy. I mean, it's been something obviously he's been dealing with since, I guess, the Colts game, but maybe before that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, how long has he been dealing with this? Because, it was a hamstring last year, too. So, I guess, what confidence level do you have that Julio Jones is eventually going to get right? And with Derrick Henry being out, like, my mindset is still, I would still rather you sit Julio Jones down until he is completely healthy rather than continuing to trot him back out there and going through this process every week.
Yeah, I agree. It's just with the hammies, you could do it for 3 weeks, and then week four, okay, now we'll try. Yep, same thing. So I don't know. But it's not great that it's basically, although there's a lot of haziness around all of it with him, but it's basically the same thing that hurt him last year, and you get to that age and the soft tissue stuff becomes more of a problem, and it's a big part of – it was already going to be a big – I mean, I don't think that with Derrick Henry, nothing happens to Derrick Henry. He's fine. Everything else, the defense keeps improving and, they have better health luck all the way around and all that stuff could happen. I still don't think this team's winning a Super Bowl without him having some kind of a significant role in that. But now, it's the importance of him figuring out a way to get to the field consistently just – go ratchets up.
Well, it's just, without Derrick Henry in there, the attention for these defenses, I mean, it's going to shift to A.J. Brown. I mean, it was probably going to start to shift his way anyway. When you start racking up, 10 catches, 155-yard gains, you're going to have to start paying some pretty good attention to A.J. Brown out there. But it would be nice to have Julio on the other side. I mean, think about this game coming up. I mean, Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Brown. It'd be nice to have Julio Jones out there too. I mean, this game's kind of a perfect example of what we're talking about.
Exactly. So, because, yes, that's what the Rams will do. And they'll, you feel good about it. Anytime you have a corner like that you can just, whoever it is, say, okay. In whatever, in certain situations at least, you're just traveling with him. That's what they'll do. If you had number two out there playing well, then, now you're going to lose out. And not just the Jalen Ramsey, but also obviously, bracketing someone a little more safety attention to someone. You have them on opposite sides of each other, and that becomes a bigger problem for the defense. And then, obviously, at some point, and we've seen it here and there, but you have 22 back there, and it really should be a problem. It just we just haven't seen so little of that because of Julio being out for the most part.
Got a texture that says, if I'm Vrabel, I'm letting all the starters sit out this game. It's an NFC team. We're probably not going to win anyways. Let Tannehill rest and the O-line rest and start your second stringers. I can guarantee you that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, they said – I heard this the other day, and this was before we knew of the Derrick Henry injury, but this idea that this game coming up Sunday just doesn't mean anything, it's the ninth game of the season for the Titans. It absolutely means something. Yeah. It's not like it's week 17 here.
Right. I mean, is it the least important of this four? Yeah, because the other three were AFC games for sure.
Sure.
But, I mean, you're fighting for everything right now if you're the Titans. Now, I think we're going to look at it and say it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to make that happen with what just happened with Derrick Henry, and because I think Buffalo, they're just set up to not lose many games the way their schedule plays out, but you still don't know. You don't know how it's going to work out, and you're not going to just mass sit your team out for this game. If you find a way to win this game, I mean, that right there, first of all, that's got to be the best four-game stretch for the Tennessee Titans football team in a regular season, and I don't know heck that would be, but then you can start talking about that stuff and say, okay, well, if you can win that game, what game can't you win on the schedule even without 22?
I got a texture that says, poor Avery Williamson wasn't even here for a full month. Yeah, the Avery Williamson homecoming tour came to an end yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit surprising. I thought that actually he might have a chance to see a little bit of action, but and, you know, of course, Rashawn Evans is on the injury report. Apparently that was not just sitting him down to trade him, by the way. The conspiracy theory, another conspiracy theory that didn't quite work out. But Monty Rice
also sets up the possibility of the Josh Reynolds revenge tour game coming up on Sunday night.
That's right. Josh Reynolds still on the team. And Monty Rice, I mean, actually, that's a good development for the Titans. I thought he played okay. He was fine.
Yep.
And next year, he's probably starting inside with David Long. So that's a good sign. But, yeah, a little bit surprised by Avery Williamson. And meanwhile, speaking of revenge tours, I know some Titans fans have really wanted them to pick up DeSean Jackson, which is not happening.
No.
But I wonder, someone will, though, right? I mean, someone will pick up DeSean Jackson.
Someone will. But to me, like, you know, you're talking about a speed guy who's lost a step.
Yeah.
Then I'm not really sure what he brings to the table if he doesn't have the speed. You know what I mean?
I mean, he's still fast.
Sure.
But, yeah, he's not what he was. And so, basically, it's like a couple times in a season you might scheme up a vertical shot to him. Yeah. It is kind of like some of the Adrian Peterson memes we've been getting.
Yeah.
And he just got signed. So, it's not like DeSean Jackson couldn't do anything, but the obsession with, like, the guys who used to be great who either are out of the league or just aren't nearly what they are.
I mean, Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football just said Adrian Peterson, the most special offensive performance of the week coming up for the Titans.
Imagine that in the league. In the whole league.
Yeah.
He's going to be the best offensive player in the league this year. Well, then I like the Titans' chances Sunday.
I think they'll be pretty good coming up on Sunday. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, no Clark Lee this week. Vanderbilt on a bye week, so Clark Lee gets the week off. A bye week.
And an off week.
Gets the week off from us, which I'm sure he probably enjoys, not having to talk to us two idiots. So we'll catch up with him again next week.
He should get a break from that.
That's right.
He deserves it.
You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.